The next topic we're up to in this week's Parsha is a mitzvah that we are not allowed to add nor to subtract from mitzvahs. Moshe simply said, you've got to keep all of the mitzvahs exactly as the Torah prescribed. You're not allowed to add or subtract. We're not supposed to sit in the sukkah on Simchas Torah. We don't pick up a lulav on Shmini Atzeres. So in other words, let's do it another day. It was so good. No, it's not what you're supposed to do. We can't decide that we're going to add roses to the Arba Minim to make them prettier, he says. And we can't find the fifth parsha to put into our tefillin. And he says, a kohen who's on the duchan and is blessing the people has a prescribed text. No matter how poetic he is and how smart he is, he can't add word. He says, quoting from the Chinuch, we believe the Torah was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond perfect, whatever that means. Think about beyond infinity. He said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you something, there's not any possible way you can make it better. Therefore, there is no detail in halacha that is, oh, we can relax this. We don't have to fulfill that. He says, no. And he says that's a critical mitzvah that people not add. And I just posit that I wonder if a number of the chumras that get added, right, are just sometimes going above and beyond and have negative impact. Then we get an amazing warning from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, if there should arise a prophet, whether he be a Jew or otherwise, and he says, you know what? I got an emanation from a deity that we never heard about before. And I have a prophetic message from this deity. Or even, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us somebody else. He decided he's got someone better than Moshe Rabbeinu to give us messages. No, right away, you're dealing with an imposter. And unfortunately, it's possible that this individual may be able to predict the future accurately. It doesn't matter. Even if he walks on water, right? Or like Bilam did, he used the Shem HaTumah to fly up in the sky. It doesn't make him honest. Don't get into debates with him, and don't try to discern, oh, what's in his message that may be accurate? The test is, when someone says, anything that we know with our Kabbalah, with our Masorah, is now passe, you know that he's dishonest and he deserves to die. And that's the requirement that when we had a Beis Din, and if people like these showed up, we would put them to death. And the major question that's been asked forever is, well, why would God allow a false prophet to show up and have the facade of being accurate, of being something to be cognizant of. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you now, he may choose to test your loyalty. If you stand by what you have and you fail to be misled by this person, somehow it says, those in heaven who have accusations against Klal Yisroel are silenced. They can say nothing to degradate the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say, look, look how steadfast and look how loyal my people are. Right? Yeshayahu says, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the Pasuk. You are my servant, B'nai Yisroel, and in you I am glorified. The author of the Medrash says, in a footnote says, the body of Klal Yisroel has passed this test gloriously. We have withstood and succeeded no matter how much suffering was inflicted by the prophets of Christianity in Islam. He quotes the Esnayim Letaira, Rav Saratskin, who tells about a certain incident when Christian priests in Tsarist Russia wanted to win the Jews over to their religion, and they gave them a long litany of signs and wonders that they said Yashke did. One of the Jewish sages said, oh, can I ask you a question? He said, of course. He said, aren't his teachings based on the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu got? And I guess they had to admit so. And he said, okay, let's read. The Torah says unequivocally and clearly that anyone who says to abolish any mitzvah of the Torah, no matter what he does, is a Navi Sheker. We may not listen to him because God is testing us. Pray tell, what are you telling us? Show us your basis for your arguments. He says, unfortunately, through history, there were kings and awful church dignitaries who consistently wanted to debate Jews, right? And they failed. He quotes the famous story of the Ramban in Barcelona in the 1300s, explained how logic refutes the basic tenets of Christianity. And he says, how is it that in today's day and age, people have fallen to the extent that there can be Jews for Jesus, right? Total ignoramuses who really know nothing. He says, the only response Klal Yisroel has had to all these people who try to proselyze Jews, right, is to attack. The only way they can be successful, we've got to educate Jewish people. We know, we who are Shomer Torah and Mitzvot, know how important it is to educate our next generation at each time, right? It's unfortunately those who walked away from Jewish, traditional Jewish education that have these tremendous issues. We're told again, why did the Jewish people of generations after Sinai accept that Moshe's prophecy was true? He said, you know what happened? We know what happened. There were 600,000 men, maybe 3 million people, who saw, right, giving of the Torah on Sinai. It wasn't given to one person. It wasn't given to a list of leaders. It was given to everyone. And every one of them turned around and told their children what they saw. There were no discrepancies, right, so to speak. And because of the way Torah was given, that's been handed down generation after generation. A sign here, a wonder there, doesn't cut it when you know that people saw the voice of God on Sinai. Nothing comes close. We know that any prophet who said to permanently cancel a mitzvah was false. We do know, however, that there were Nevi'im who could temporarily suspend a mitzvah. We know that Shmuel HaNavri, right, could bring the Korbonos. No, or Eliyahu HaNavi, against the Nevi'ei HaBaal, right? When they had, quote, that contest. And it was Obama, one of these private altars, and yet he could bring a sacrifice at that time to show Klal Yisrael, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. We're told that Hananiah ben Azur was a Navi in Yirmiyahu's time. It says, later on, Ruach HaKodesh left him. And because he couldn't deal with this, he began to invent his own prophecies, which he claimed he received from God. Before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yirmiyahu to tell the Yidden that the Jews were going to lose the Beis HaMikdash, were going to be exiled to Bavel by Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, that is the reason why Nebuchadnezzar was allowed by God to become the strongest monarch, the super of his time. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yirmiyahu to put a wooden bar on his neck. This false prophet, Hananiah ben Azur, said, no way. He broke the bar around Yirmiyahu's neck and says, this is what God really says. I will break Nebuchadnezzar's yoke in 2 years. And whatever things were taken already from the Beis HaMikdash be brought back. Yirmiyahu told Hananiah, I wish that what you say were true, but you're a false nubby. And I predict that Nebuchadnezzar will exile all those who are remaining in Eretz Yisroel. And he said to Hananiah, if your message is truly from Hashem, name a sign and let's see if it will happen. Hananiah said, no, I challenge you. You do something to show it's true. Yirmiyahu said, I may give signs, and they may not even come true. You know why? Because whenever one gives a difficult nevius, when one says something is going to happen that punishes the Jews, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would change his name. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never changes a prophecy for good. Therefore, what you say has to come true. Hananiah was, I guess he realized he was on shaky ground, and he kept challenging Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu said, okay, you want me to prove that my prophecy is true? I am going to prophesize that you are going to die before the end of the year because you are a Navi Sheker. But what happened was HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Hananiah away on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the last day of the year. And even when he knew he was going to die, listen to this, he said to his kids, you know what I want you to do? Don't tell anybody I died. Say it happened on Rosh Hashanah. So that we can all say that Yirmiyahu's nevius was false. I lasted another couple hours beyond his prediction. It's incredible. And we say the same thing. We go back to Yitzias Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem that at Chatzos, I'm going to bring Makos Bechoros, the death of the eldest. And Moshe said to Paro, at about midnight. But the question is, hold on. Why did Moshe change it? And the answer is that Paro too would have said, if Makos Bechoros happened at 12:01, 12:02, and not at 12:00, your God is false. He got the time wrong. Like, think about it. You're dealing with such terrible things that are happening, and they happen, and you're still, as an avoider zoronik, you're trying to pick at straws that, oh, look, he got one iota of the prediction wrong, and therefore it's false. I've always been amazed at this concept. The next topic is that if we, God forbid, have a Jew who is trying to gather others to serve idols, we've got to basically get rid of them ASAP. Moshe said, if a close relative of yours, even if your wife does this, right, don't inquire as to what they're saying. This is idolatry. Rather, what I want you to do is find witnesses, hide them somewhere, and get into a discussion with this evildoer, and ask him, tell me again, I don't really understand. And the aiden can say, we heard this. And even though he didn't get warning, the Torah allows us to kill him on the testimony of the aiden. It says, once a person has taken the step to lead others to heresy, he no longer has the right to be considered a fellow Jew, and you have no responsibility to love him. Rather, it's a mitzvah to engage in hating the person. It says in Tehillim, David HaMelech said, Rabbeinu Shloim, do I not hate those who hate you? You cannot, it says, look for methods to try to exonerate this person, to try to get merciful treatment of them. Beis Din normally has the responsibility that in any capital case, they go to the extent they can to attempt to save the person who's a defendant. In this case, it doesn't apply. We're told that in this case, cruelty may be what's right, and being merciful is wrong. This person deserves to die, and has got to be killed. It's good, it says, for him, because it ends his sinning. He can no longer go on and try to capture other Jews. And if he wakes up, his tshuva could be a kapara for this terrible sin. Society will now be spared from a very destructive individual. It says, the Torah considers someone who incites another yid to sin worse than a murderer. The murderer takes the body away. The instigator tries to steal the soul, tries to make sure there's no Gan Eden. He said, we in the civilized society understand how terrible homicide is. But we're really required to understand that those who actively uproot a Jew from Torah are worse than a murderer. Because they are stealing, he says, the spiritual life source from people. And he says, I personally say that the leaders who knew better in conservative and reform Jewry, but who chose this path, were guilty of committing this sin. Once those witnesses, the ones who were hidden, if that's the way you do it, or others who saw him do what he did, give testimony, based in stones, we do skila. And we're told that those who were addressed by this person have the commandment to be the first to stone the individual. And Beis Din was required, when this occurred, to send messengers throughout Eretz Yisrael and state, A, the son of B, has been put to death by his Beis Din because he was a Macy's. He was a Jewish traitor, right? And everyone should take note of his death. Note what this sin entails. And one of the Chazal say, the other thing about the halach of Macy's is to realize that people have a responsibility to avoid coming under the influence of those who are anti-Torah. And he concludes his verse with this.